What the hell going on, people? Give me a yes, y'all is.
DVR Podcast probably presents me. You're having a Fact Daddy experience.
That's right, girl. Fact Daddy experience.
All right, gonna just talk about Serial Experiments Lane again, some more. Probably not gonna get past episode 10 though. It tends to diverge at points into something that on the surface level is very convoluted, but in actuality it's not. I can point out two specific pop culture phenomena that, while not consciously directly influenced by Serial Experiments Lane, certainly have similarities. That would be Fight Club and Donnie Darko. And I love Donnie Darko and time travel shit. I think I've established that already. So, in episode 6, it seems apparent that Lane is talking to the Knights while she's in the Wired, and she sees that kid Taro. And as she's walking around town, she sees kids opening up their arms to the sky, and she sees them all over the place. And at one point when they do that, there's literally a rip in the sky, and you see Lane's face coming out of it. It's almost like a quasi deification of Lane. So Lane gets freaked out. She goes on a Wire and learns from a guy named Professor Hodgson about a game called Kids. And basically, Kids was a PSI project for psychic abilities that Hodgson was the head of. And he used the collective powers developed in these kids to hit a level where they didn't need any kind of external or exterior devices, technologies, machines to activate their powers. Hodgson refers to Lane as a powerful godlike being in the Wire. And I know I mentioned earlier that, you know, I have my suspicions about Lane. They don't ever fully clarify things in Lane. There's a lot of implied things that they're intimated at, but they're not deliberately expressed. In this same episode, and this is episode 6 of Serial Experiments Lane, and I'm sorry about that. Anyway, so yeah, the government goons are still following her. They claim that the Knights planted a parasitic bomb in her computer's coolant system because her computer coolant is, her computer's insane. It's like another living being. It's not even like a regular computer. It's got all that cool liquid nitrogen, like, so it doesn't overheat. It's really fucking hardcore. And previously, in one of the other episodes, Lane mentioned, or had it mentioned to her, that she could translate herself into the Wired. I'm just going to throw it out there very briefly and quickly. Now, if we're vibratory beings, turning ourselves into different frequencies would imply experiencing ourselves as other than ourselves, because implicit in such a translation would be the fact that a new vibratory experience would create a new world or reality, and you would be a very different you, one that resonates within the new frequency you inhabit. So implicit in the notion of Lane translating herself into the Wired, that it implies that, you know, she can exist in different ways due to the fact that there's a transition of her frequency and having it translated into a digital form, so to speak. I mean, that's just an idea. Anyway, you enter the layer 7 because they don't really refer to the episodes as episodes. They refer to them as layers, which I think is appropriate based on the content. But you go into the layer 7, which is society, and you see Lane talking to a computer. And then you hear some of these statements. One of them is from Lane, supposedly the real world version, and the other one is from her Wired version. Real world version: the real world isn't real at all. Wired version: the Wired and the real world are one and the same. So this would imply that neither was real if you took the two statements in their totality. It's like those little, I think they're called syllogisms, but I'm not good at recalling that type of shit. The point being is like those little philosophy things, those little statements like statement one proceeds from statement two. It's like Isaac Asimov's Law of the Robots, etc., etc. So the real world isn't real at all. Let's take that statement as true. Then the following statement is also true: the Wired and the real world are one and the same. That would mean neither of them is real. And I just bring this up because there's a notion about the observer and what's observed. And basically, the observers who generates the reality. So the reality exists for the observer to be observed as well as to observe. And that creates the dynamic and flow of what we call relationship, which in turn creates what we experience as what we call reality. And the two versions of Lane are kind of like the two sides of a coin. While a coin is whole and is one, it still has the two sides. And the Wired version of Lane is considered very dangerous. So that kind of covers like the society episode, because really there's a socialization issue there, and that leads into rumors, which is I think the turning point of the show. Because while episodes or layer 6 was, layer 6 and 7 are good, but I feel like they kind of give the story a more disjointed feel, whereas I think layer 8 kind of pulls it together so that it's a little more cogent and not as strange or abstract for people to internalize. Because, I mean, it's seriously fucking weird. I happen to love it to death because I like weird shit. But it's definitely weird. And layer 8, rumors, this episode, this is where it gets really weird. Like, you run into a lot of, like I mentioned before, the Fight Club and the Matrix type things and the Donnie Darko type things, because a lot of the issues involve conflict with the self and how it manifests into being, literally, and how you have this war for dominance over the persona, like the personality. Like, is it going to be Wired Lane, which is like Lane's version of Tyler Durden? Wired Lane doesn't give a fuck. Wired Lane gets in your face. Wired Lane's going to say what the fuck she wants to say, whereas real world Lane is very subdued. And it's implied in a way that real world Lane is not necessarily real in the way that most people are. I will get to that in a moment, but anyway, the shift in Lane's reality becomes very heavy, and she and her experience, they seem to become distorted in a way. And basically, some of the issues that arise in rumors, particularly the whole sequence at the end, Lane has a friend called Arisu, and I'm assuming, based on some of the things I've read, that would translate as to Alice. But anyway, her friend Alice has these feelings about an older gentleman, and Wired Lane kind of spreads rumors about her friend because she has this notion that all information in any capacity should be free, like no privacy, everything. The veil should be stripped from everything. But it was a very petty thing to do, and you're not certain if it was actually her or a derivation of her who did it. And the thing about that is, there was a story by Arthur C. Clarke called The Light of Other Days, and it really, I think it's the best story in terms of how radical our experience could be altered by technology and what that does to our notions of self and transparency. Because in The Light of Other Days, ultimately there is no privacy. Privacy is almost eliminated as a byproduct of these wormhole cameras that become like cellular devices today. Like, we don't think of them as a radical transition in how human beings interact. But in actuality, cellular devices, not only in terms of how they monitor us and surveil us in an Orwellian sense of surveillance, but also how they interconnect us in terms of the rapid access to information at will and at whim and at thought. I've made jokes about people and they didn't get them, and then I just, boom, Google, boom, image, boom. Now the reference is there. Immediately. You don't have to have had all these experiences and watched all these references to be shown or to get them immediately. Now it's just immediate access. I tell you, I like the song. Boom. You can listen to it. So, you have those facets within this story as well, where transparency becomes an issue, surveillance becomes an issue, observance becomes an issue, and the impact of what's observed also becomes an issue, which I think all of this stuff is really fascinating. And then we get into episode 9. I don't even think I'm gonna go past episode 9. Episode 9. There's a lot of information. Some of it I think is legitimate. Other references are concocted, obviously. It's fiction. And then they're merged. But the whole thing about Memex and Vannevar Bush and, you know, the Manhattan Project and this one notion of us being kind of part of this kind of massive geological brain, like the Earth, not in a purely Gaia complex sense, but in the sense that each and every one of us are kind of like neurons firing in the brain of this cosmic geological entity, and that this entity will literally awaken when the proper numbers of neurons exist in its system. And some have theorized that this potentially could be almost now, because of everything that's going on, all the rapid firing of the information, that technology acts as a conduit by which all of this information is just constantly flowing and transforming its own environment. So even as it's spreading and going back and forth and going back and forth, it's altering itself and mutating itself and becoming something greater and other than itself and evolving itself to the point where it's a systematic thing and everything gets interconnected and the information spreads rapidly and it has an immediate impact. And the level of that immediacy is potent because there's transformations going on at such a rate and speed that you can't even consciously pick up on it, and you don't really know that you're a part of it because you're perpetually adapting to something that's moving faster than you can even see it. So, the protocol episode has a lot of cool stuff in it regarding that, that whole deal. And I think that's also the beginning of the episode. An alien shows up in Lane's room. So you get into that whole notion that, you know, human beings are not necessarily human. That we're basically aspects of consciousness that were informed by what could be considered alien life forms. I mean, I don't really go too deep into that. I'm not going to really talk about any beliefs regarding it. I don't have any one way or the other. But I will say that I think that just about everything that exists that I don't identify as myself is alien to me in a psychological respect. Meaning, it's all strange to me. And since I'm strange to myself, ultimately, I think everything is strange. Everything is to varying degrees alien to self, because self is kind of a notion that you're perpetually constructing each and every moment of your life. There is no definitive self. The self of me at 5 years old is not the self of me now. And the self of me now won't be the self of me 10 minutes from now. There's a notion that there is some continuity, but the whole continuity and the linear aspects of that continuity are superfluous because everything works in curves in this universe. Straight lines are, to a great degree, illusory but useful. Personal opinion. You could disregard it. Neither of us gives two shits. I think straight lines are a fiction. Anyway, this episode's cool because I like the alien notion. I like the alien technology idea. It has that 2001 vibe where basically an alien sentience influences and helps expedite the evolutionary process in what could be perceived or assessed as a lower life form, which lower, upper, it's all relative. You know, that's just an easy way to try to convey the idea. The point is that these beings are at a particular state within their evolution, and that the experience of interacting with these quote-unquote alien life forms helps accelerate that consciousness to the point where it becomes something new and different. So, I think it's particularly interesting because, you know, when you look at the idea of just consciousness and the interaction of a multitude of different living beings just living, but they don't realize that they're a part of this vast process. Like, they are the microcosm of a macrocosmic process. And being the microcosm of a macrocosmic process, and then being aware of that, I think could influence your behavior in a number of ways, but we're like all different facets of each other and of ourselves, yet there is no self. So I think that this protocol episode, or layer 9 of Seer Experiments Lane, is really intense because you also have a lot of other things happening, and I'm going to have a Seer Experiment. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm having a Serial Experiments Lane moment right now because I'm not sure if it's near the middle or end of episode slash layer 9 or going into the 10th layer that you come across what I had mentioned earlier regarding Lane's parents, that they were part of a black ops government experiment, and that Lane in and of herself is not necessarily human. I mean, there's a facet to her that could be alien, and there's also a facet to her that she could be a digital being that actually became conscious and gave itself form, or she could be the byproduct of government trying to manipulate vibrations in order to generate what I would call a tulpa. And if you're not familiar with it, it's T-U-L-P-A-H, and a tulpa is a thought form that is explicit as a living being. So initially it was a concept, and then it was literally made manifest as a living being. So as to the exact nature of what Lane is, that's not really explicit within the story, but the interaction with her father and the statements made, like, this is almost over, I loved, you know, he says, I loved you. You know, he acknowledges that ultimately she's not his child, and that she's part of something beyond them, and that it was, the way that he speaks is implying that she was an experiment. So you have issues as to the nature and identity of who this character is, and that's what makes her so fascinating. It makes the story fascinating. I mean, again, episode slash layers 6 and 7 are a little bumpy, but episode 8 is incredible, and episode 9 is pretty good as well. So I'm going to have to delve more into the remaining episodes, but it's definitely worth viewing. And just an opinion, I personally enjoyed the shit out of fucking The Last Jedi. I thought it was fucking dope as hell. It was very, very interesting. And the only thing I have to say is those guards in the red suits are pretty cool. Definitely, they're pretty cool. I'm not going to say anything else about it. I'll let the Wire take care of that for me. I'm going to finish up next time with part 3 now, which I didn't intend, I'm sorry, but there's going to be a part 3 to the Serial Experiments Lane deal, because I think it's fucking awesome, and I love talking about it. And then I'm going to probably go into Noein, N-O-E-I-N. I don't even know how many years old that is, but I mean, it's fucking really cool. And I'm going to be watching some other weird stuff, and I'll definitely talk about it. I mean, but, you know, just for kicks, I would definitely recommend at least the first 3 episodes of Black Mirror, just because they're really fucked up. And just based on that alone, I think they're worth watching, because they're very challenging material that I think is intelligent, humorous, and dark simultaneously. Thank you for listening to my shit. Thank you for just being you, whoever the fuck you are out there. We're all part of the same fabric of existence. I don't know me without you being there. And I think it's vice versa. Anyway, have a happy and safe holiday. Merry Christmas, all that stuff. Try not to get too crazy, too wound up, too stressed out. Just enjoy the experiment. Take care. Adios.